Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Oh, hello. This is an express edition. We're just going to record this before a long holiday weekend because, you know, we'd actually like to have those. That would be good.
We would like to announce that we are doing a Star Wars spinoff movie, folks, on Willrow Hood, who is the character who can be seen fleeing Cloud City with a machine that looks like ice cream and was eventually given a lengthy backstory in the expanded universe. So look for it in 2020. We're excited. This is our first, it's a Vox Media production. You've seen, we did a Netflix show. We got a CNN show. Godfrey did a show for your phone that you can watch soon. It'll come out someday soon, allegedly. But the Shutdown Fullcast is excited. We're making a, it's called Hood. It's the name of it.
Yeah. I like somebody on Twitter. I can't remember who it was. I'll find out who it was. They said, listen, the only Star Wars movie I want is I want a whole movie on that huge space worm in Empire Strikes Back. Because damn, how'd that worm get so fucking big?
I think it's like every fucking day a spaceship comes through there. Some dumbass spaceship comes through there. So that's enough calories. The way they filmed it was deceptive. That was actually not a little traveled asteroid belt. That was like an interstate. It was slow traffic that day.
I just want one where, you know, one of the voices narrating it, like it's David Attenborough, and then it switches to a guy going, damn, that worm's big, ain't it? That's a big old worm. Just Brett Bielema sitting there going, oh man, look at them. That's a beefy worm.
So we were down by the creek the other day. We seen a worm about that big. I think it was black and red. You know what kind that is? Are those poisonous?
I would love to do a film, a standalone Star Wars film on Grumgar. I had to look him up. Grumgar is the enormous dude that you see for a second in Maz Kanata's scene in her little bar I believe that wasn't The Last Jedi. It was, Force Awakens. So in Force Awakens, there's the bar scene, right? It's like the sort of, he's like the galaxy's natural power lifter. In a pretty well-cut jacket. I gotta say, like, look, the longer I looked at Grumgar in the photos, I thought, well, you know what? It's tailored. You don't just get that off the rack. Yeah, no, he's like the Trevor. He went to Trevor Manich's tailor. He's a big man, but the clothes, the clothes fit real well. They're beautifully cut. Like, I love Marcus Spears and everything, but, like, it took until this season for him to realize his biceps, they're too damn big for a standard cut. He can't go off the rack.
Yeah, the ads for that XL clothing store, it's DJ Khaled and this guy.
Yeah, you know, listen, take care of yourself. Exercise a little self-care and go to a tailor just like Grumgar did so he can get his fly-ass jacket and the pants which fit over his enormous thighs. And then, I don't know much about this character, so if you're a real super nerd, I don't know, hit me up. You can even email me. I might read it. There's this other sort of lady who's kind of using him. I read the backstory, and she's kind of taking advantage of Grumgar and playing him up. And he's like, well, why wouldn't you find me attractive? I'm gorgeous. even though he looks like an enormous, like, space rhino man combination with two horns on his chin, right? He's sitting there, and she's, like, posted up on him. I want an entire, like, Netflix series about their relationship. That's it. Just about him. And you know what? Here's an excerpt from the reviews, which is, I'm baffled at why head writer Spencer Hall included an easy 90 minutes of scenes of just him deadlifting. I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand why there's just extended workouts and shots of him eating.
That reviewer clearly not familiar with your previous films. I have another one to recommend. I didn't know about this character until excellent IO9 article, 11 minor Star Wars characters who got absurdly full lives in the expanded universe. This guy's name is Davin Felth, and the opening sentence of his entry, of course, the guy who says, look, sir, droids in A New Hope has a 4,000 word entry on Wikipedia.
Yes.
It's just some stormtrooper who had one line, and the expanded universe gave him this massive sprawling backstory, which, like, until Disney came in and just deleted all that nerd shit, that was true for literally anyone who appeared in any of the movies, including, here's another example, do y'all know Bidlow Corv?
But no, nobody sounds like, he sounds like a Bay Area rapper.
That's some shit E-40 said. It means sandwich.
Get on that Bidlow curve.
And he'll explain that slang in the very next line. You still won't understand it. So Bidlow Quirve is the... In Jedi, when Luke is down in the Rancor's den and he throws the skull at the button, Bidlow Quirve is the name of the person to whom that skull once belonged.
No!
This person has an entire backstory in the extremely nerdy expanded universe. Yeah, it's a fucking skull. I can top that, though. I can top that. Do y'all know the story of Luke Skywalker with two U's?
This again, is... Bay Area rapper.
Luke.
Okay.
Luke. So in the, again, in the expanding universe, which are no longer valid because George Lucas, of course, he was too lazy to flesh out his universe. And he just was like, even though the internet didn't exist, he's just like, oh, I'll let the internet do it. And then Disney came along and said, no, grownups are here. We're going to make money on everything. Back then, Admiral Thrawn, he was after the collapse of the Empire, he was one of the main post-Empire bad guys. He was this allegedly brilliant space admiral. And he's canon again, but this part isn't. He made a clone of Luke Skywalker, and the way you could tell them apart was this. The clones, his name was spelled Luke Skywalker. And it gets better. Because after Luke Skywalker died, he was replaced with Luke Skywalker. Three U's. Someone actually wrote this.
It was probably George Lucas, king of dumb ideas.
So I'm making a movie about Luke Skywalker.
Good God. That's astonishing.
It's the dumbest thing you've ever heard.
I know. Ryan and I had an entire conversation about the Jawas and about kind of like how they need some kind of story.
Well, let's review. So the Jawas, based on what we know from the events of A New Hope, this is what we know about them. They have a huge fucking transport vehicle, a vehicle that is possibly the physically largest thing we've seen in the Star Wars universe. It's like... I would say in terms of capacity, it's definitely bigger than an AT-AT walker, but it's maybe not as tall. And they use this to roam around the desert and kidnap lost robots. That's it. That's all we see them do. And that's all we see them sell when they go to market. And by market, I mean just pull up at somebody's house. They're just selling used droids. Now, because this is a desert planet, A, I don't know how many lost droids there are, and B, it feels like the chances are good that they're going to pull up to somebody's house and say, like, droids for sale? And they're going to say, like, yeah, two of those belong to me. Yeah, you can see right there, I labeled them with my name.
Yeah, I'm the only house for 80 droids. Miles. Of course
so
they're mine.
What is the what are the economics of being a Jawa? It doesn't seem like a profitable or a worthwhile enterprise in any way. I don't get it.
So, obviously, when you make this film, you can answer this in full. But I have a little bit of insight based on having gone to Disney a couple years ago. Now that Disney owns Star Wars, there's big Star Wars stuff everywhere. And Spencer, you might have seen this too. The Jawas, there are people dressed up as Jawas walking around. And you can trade with them. And like, if you give them something shitty, you know, you give them like a quarter, they're going to dig in their bag and give you something shitty back. But if you give them something good, like I saw someone give them a banana and they dug around in their little bags and pulled out like a pin, which like at Disney, a pin is like that. Those are fucking awesome. You want to collect pins. And like my daughter, she traded the Jawas a pin and they spent like this little thing spent this little creature spent like a good minute finding her something really sweet. So they do trade stuff besides just droids. You just wouldn't know it from the movie.
But where are they getting that shit?
People give it to I don't know. See, this is a question you have to answer.
Somebody's given them just pills, right?
This is Florida.
it's Florida. Somebody's just walked up and given them like, I got five Oxy. What you got? Jawa hands over a handgun. Is any of this legal?
It is on Tatooine.
There's another character on Tatooine I'd like to do a movie about, and that's racist Mos Eisley bartender, because this is the bartender who all 3PO and R2-D2 try to do is literally enter the bar. That's it. And he's just like, nope, they're not wanted here. We don't serve their kind. They have to wait outside. So he's got a very strict line about this. And at first you're like, well, maybe droids cause trouble. Maybe droids interfere with the aesthetic, or who's to say? But then later on, this same bartender does not kick out a man who cuts off another patron's arm and a man who shoots another patron. Like, those, they only sort of like move along and about their business because they choose to. At no point is he like, hey, that's not cool. You have to go. There is no penalty for murder or dismemberment, but being a droid crosses the line. Like, what are this man's politics, and what makes him think he has any standing to judge droids when he's running this fucking murder bar cantina? I think it's disgusting, and it makes me.
He's just trying to make Tatooine great again. Okay. That's all he's trying to do. You might as well be wearing a little red hat.
Those droids didn't stand for the anthem, okay?
Literally all C-3PO can do is stand. He can't kneel even if he wants
Actually,
to.
I know the problem. C-3PO knows a lot of languages. Come on now. Can't trust that. We only speak one language here in this bar. It's the one that sounds like...
Yeah, I think that the other droid I want to do is I want to do the nervous addict drama, but with the medical droid that pops up in Empire Strikes Back, right? How are you doing, sir? Everything's fine. I have imposter syndrome, and I take robot drugs just to get through my day. That's all I hear every time I see him, is I just see somebody who's like, I got through robot med school, and one day they'll figure out I'm a fraud.
What about the droid that kills Padme? Like the excuse is like super weak. Like, bro, you don't even have a cover story. You just straight up murdered her. He's like, oh, yeah, she was real sad.
She's very sad. There's nothing she can do. We can travel through space and across the universe, but sadness eludes us.
The other droid I really like, by the way, who has a backstory that's funnier than anything I could make up, because I said, oh man, we need something on like what an awkward. Like thing, person, droid character, IG-88, who, if you know, like, this is another thing Ryan and I discussed, which I think is an important point. Darth Vader hires a bunch of bounty hunters in Empire, right? To go find Han Solo. They hire them, and one, there's no way that Vader did the proper paperwork. Their books are a mess, right? Two, IG-88 is just a robot, and he's just made to, like, hunt and murder. So he's just got to be the worst hang ever, right? Like, so, how's the family? Pursue!
Yeah.
Kill! Stun! Like, it's got to be a bad hang.
Right? I don't know. It sounds like hanging with a strength coach.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, like, they have some hobbies, and you can talk to them about lifting, right? But, like, you know, and even if you're hanging out, right, like, there's, like, Han Solo, and then there's Bosk, who's just a big lizard. But I don't know. Like, I could amuse myself feeding frogs to Bosk. Right?
I'm pretty sure Bosk is the dog, the bounty hunter of the
Star
Wars.
Yeah, like Bosk probably wants to get down, you know, pound a couple of beers, do some shots.
And tell you about the Lord.
Oh, there's no way Bosk isn't a man of faith. He's like, listen.
Bosk is born again. Jesus. Listen, I used to be like you. I used to be running spice.
You know, the Lord put me on a different path. It's a rough road, but it's one he made me strong enough to walk.
Do you mean the Force? No, I mean Jesus Christ, some bitch.
It flows, it's all around you. It's kind of like that. Why don't you come to my men's weightlifting group? We lift before church on Sundays.
What the fuck is Sunday?
It's the Lord's Day. I'll work in.
All right, let's get out of here and head to the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, no, there's no way Bosk isn't taking the little lizardlets to Chick-fil-A. No, man. Bosk lives out in, like, Cumming. He lives out in, like, McDonough, Georgia. You know? No way he doesn't drive the Yukon of the skies. That's it. There's Slave One. It's Boba Fett's ship. And then there's just a big old GMC Yukon that just flies like it's a spaceship.
You seen that new Kirk Cameron movie? Bosk, I don't want to talk. Come on.
It's got a Salt Life sticker on the back. It's weird. That's not even part of the universe. But yeah, like, you could hang with Bosk. That's cool. That's fine.
I mean, any of these bounty hunters would make for a better movie than fucking Boba Fett. Luckily, that'll never happen. Oh, shit.
About that.
I guess that's why we're here. Yeah,
yeah, they're going to make a movie about a guy whose big achievement, by the way, is falling in a hole.
But then there's a whole other story where he falls in it again. What a fuck up. It's like the Hole's like, I don't want to eat Boba Fett. And the Hole's mom is like, you will finish every bite of Boba Fett or you are not going outside.
Boba Fett has the spaceship that is the most unfortunate to bring up in casual conversation the name of. Like, if he's just out at lunch with a friend and they're like, oh, cool spaceship. What's it called?
Gotta
he's like, Slave One. Called Slave One. I didn't name it that, okay? That's the factory name. That's what Mitsubishi decided to call it, okay?
Just say it's Italian. Slavione.
Oh. Speaking of names, do y'all know Darth Maul's brother's name?
Why does Darth Maul have a brother?
Everyone's got a family,
Star Wars,
Ryan.
Bro. Everyone's related. There's like two
families.
Is it
families. Chad
Maul? No.
Is it Chad Maul?
Chad
No,
Maul!
No, it's not Chad Maul. So you know how you know the Star Wars thing where like everyone, you can immediately tell from their name whether they're a good guy or a bad guy?
Yeah.
So Darth Maul's brother is named Savage Opress. Do you think he's a bad guy also?
Somebody did some good work on thesaurus.com. Savage Opress.
Yeah, so I want a Savage Opress movie. We learned this, of course, because Darth Maul, like Boba Fett, was a popular character despite like showing up and immediately dying. So he also survived falling in a hole, and he went to live on a garbage planet where he built himself spider legs out of garbage, then met his brother and took over a planet with a mafia and so on and so forth. Finally got killed by Obi-Wan, but the takeaway of all this is we need a Savage Opress movie.
I would also watch a movie about what Obi-Wan did for all of those years on Tatooine. Because he's not out Jedi-ing. And he doesn't have a job, as far as I can tell. And everybody just thinks he's like this crazy old man. So I assume he's just staying home on message boards all day.
Yeah, just thinking about the Kansas City Chiefs.
I just want to say, like, recreated Sir Alec Guinness on Tiger Droppings.
Have you ever seen... Okay, this leads to another question I had, which is, I want the story of all of the... I mean, doesn't Yoda live to be 900?
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, he lives, like, almost a millennium.
Yeah.
And I know that based on my own life, you know, not all of those years are popping. Or interesting. You know, there's just vast empty spaces, and I know that he's tied into the Force and meaningful, but I also know that even in the Star Wars universe, there's long periods of just going and getting trashed on planets and hiding from the world for Jedis, right?
You want the year where Yoda was struggling and selling Cutco knives.
Well, what made me think of it, there is a bad lip reading video set to music that is just Yoda, like, you know, they're reading his lips and making up nonsense to him, and honestly, it sounds like Yoda. It sounds like he had a year where he went down to the beach and got attacked by some seagulls and then walked back and was like, yeah, man, fuck seagulls. They're bad. Like, it's going to happen to you. Like, Yoda's monologues don't always have to be meaningful. I bet there were several hundred years where they were things like, you know, if you go down to the beach, you get attacked by seagulls. Hey, if you go to the grocery store and you ask for a kid's cookie, technically, they can't tell you no.
They have to give it to you. Legally,
they can't ask for ID. That's a discretionary cookie give. They have to give you that cookie. You might as well try it. It costs you nothing, and if it works, you get a cookie. Like, there's got to be several hundred years of banal Yoda in
Yoda's
there.
Got a fucking life hacks blog. That's all Jedi do, though, man, right? Like, they mope around and nag people until they get in trouble, and then they go hide on a planet and sulk for 300 years until somebody needs their advice. Luke, Obi-Wan, Yoda, that's all these people do.
Oh, yeah. Jedi are definitely going to Costco just for free sample day. 100%. 100%. Limit none is displayed.
Yeah, no, come on. Yoda has to have life so wired that it's,
you know what?
Boring.
Yoda's an extreme couponer, isn't he?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. You don't want to get behind him in a checkout line.
Yoda's got to have some problematic opinions, though. Like, think about if your granddad was born in the year 1018. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the problem is all of his opinions have got to be so dated at this point. That'd be like if you had a grandfather this old who had, like, opinions about Visigoths.
Okay,
you'd
yeah.
Be like, that doesn't really come into play anymore.
Your granddad says some racist shit about the Huns, and you're like, I don't know if I'm related to the Huns or not, so I'm just going to ignore this.
Yeah, that's several hundred iterations of interbreeding with other people from other continents ago, but you're still holding it like deeply, right? Like, honestly, Yoda probably like would take civilization very personally because he'd go, "Ah, the Mongols, bastards! You killed my friend Ted. You
killed my kindergarten teacher."
Yeah, no, I mean, he'd have some beef, right? He'd have like, he'd be like, "Ah, Napoleon, what a dick."
I think my favorite part about Yoda's backstory is that no one knows what he is. It's like, you look on the page and it's like, Yoda species. Well, he's Yoda.
Well, he's just a Yoda.
Is Yoda like one of those Chinese dogs that turns out to be a bear? Do we eventually find out that
you actually bought a feral deer, ma'am?
Yeah, this is a talking anteater. That's all he is. He's just a talking chinchilla. Like if they don't know what he is, then he could be anything.
This smart frog doesn't jump.
that and the other character I really want. I've always loved Porkins because he's the only demonstrably fat person. Not fat thing. Remember, there's plenty of fat things in Star Wars,
there's
right?
Another, but you can keep going. It's fine.
Is there another fat dude?
Yeah, the Rancor Master.
Yes, yes. I forgot. We don't know that he's human, though, right?
He's human-ish. All right, let's assume that the Rancor Master and Porkins are brothers.
That's...
Ooh.
I was going to say that's quite an assumption, but since it's Star Wars... I don't see any way around it.
There is some alternate story where Porkins, who, if you'll know, is the guy in Star Wars who is the fat guy who is shot and killed. And everyone goes, "Wow, that was savage." Also, how is there a fat X-Wing pilot?
Well, like everybody else's name is just like everybody's got their call sign. You're like Red 5, Gold Leader, standing by. And then out of nowhere, just like Porkins, tighten up. It's like, God damn, can't we stick to the call signs? We talked to HR about you not calling me Porkins over the fucking radio, and you did it again.
Look out, now, fat guy.
Flapmaster Jenkins reporting. Like, God, come on.
So here's my theory. Porkins and the Rancor Master are brothers. Porkins dies in the attack on the first Death Star, and he leaves a very young Rancor to his brother, the soon-to-be Rancor Master. His brother is fucking pissed because he told Porkins, "Don't go join up with Rebel Alliance. They won't appreciate you the way I, your brother, do, and they're just going to call you fatty." And sure enough, that's what happened. And I'm sure the Rebel Alliance did very little to commemorate Porkins' passing. And so Rancor Master says, "Fuck it. I'm not participating in all that. I'm going to take my new pet Rancor, go work for Jabba." And that's why he's so sad at the end, because when Luke, the fucking hero of the Rebel Alliance, kills his Rancor, it's severing his last tie to his dead brother Porkins. That's fucked up, dude.
Yeah.
I sort of think they're the same guy, that Porkins didn't die. He's just, he's just blasted clear and holds his breath until he lands. That's it. Just
he's a big guy. He's got a lot of breath to hold.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, the high body fat definitely insulates him from the cold of space just long enough so that he can go through reentry, right? He loses some of it.
He grabs hold of Darth Vader's spinning TIE fighter. He's just like, "Oh,
I sort of feel they made Rogue One just to apologize for that moment where it's like, "Oh God, Darth Vader, our ultimate badass bad guy is spinning toward you like a old newspaper in a 1930s cartoon. what a dork we made him look like. Fine, let's make Rogue One where he looks like a horror movie monster.
I have several other requests for Star Wars content before we run out of them completely. One of them is I want an entire short film about what happens when Mace Windu is blown out of the window and before he lands. That's it. I just want what's going through his head. Because I know at one point it's like, oh man, did I pay my cable bill? Did I? Should I disconnect? Should I just get YouTube? Should I just do that? That $40 bundle? It's like a great deal.
It's pr-
just that long monologue on the way to the ground.
I just wanted to end with motherfuck.
Yeah. Did they really turn me into a legend to get Samuel L. Jackson to play me just so some like old creepy dude could for like lightning blast me out of this window? I have a purple lightsaber. I deserve better than that.